We began a brand new series last week called My Greatest Adventure. Tim, would you put up the slide for Bear Grylls? You may have seen the posters of Bear Grylls on buses, on billboards. He has been everywhere. How many of you are familiar with his TV shows, either Man vs. Nature or Born Survivor? So Man vs. Nature is a TV program that he stars in which you see him doing all kinds of crazy things, like surviving the Amazons or jumping off from an airplane. But the Born Survivor is the ultimate military challenges. So think of the U.S. Navy SEALs in the British Special Forces kind of deal. And this is a crazy guy. Bear Grylls has become known around the world as one of the most recognized faces of survival and outdoor adventure. Trained at an early age in martial arts, he got this DNA in his body, in his mind, and so that, hey, I want to seek risks. I want to seek adventures. And he has done all kinds of things. He joined the British Special Forces, and in one of the jumps out of an airplane in skydiving in 1996, his parachute got ripped partially and he fell free fall from 16,000 foot high. Luckily, he only sustained major injuries, saving his life. He broke his back. His TV shows, The Man vs. Wild, Born Survivor, has become one of the most watched programs on the planet. It is estimated that 1.2 billion people around the world have watched his shows. I've seen it a number of times. And it is just, I am both attracted by the show and repulsed by kind of things that he has to eat and drink. I can't even tell you what he ate and drank in one of the shows that I watched. He climbed Mount Everest, the youngest man to do so. He survived the Amazons. He jumped out of an airplane. He survived the elements of Siberia. He survived the desert in the Sahara. He has done all kinds of things. He survived being lost in the sea. And yet, this risk-taking, adventure-seeking, adrenaline junkie, if you were to ask him the question, what is your greatest adventure? You know what he would say? After doing all these amazing adventures, he would tell you, my greatest adventure is having a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Quote by Bear Grylls. My greatest, the highest of all highs adventure that I've ever done is living in a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Friends, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the good news, that's what it means. The gospel means good news. The good news of Jesus Christ is this in one sentence, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God Himself, Holy Divine, became all the way down from heaven above to our earth in our world, so that by becoming a man Himself like one of us, so that through Him we may walk into a personal relationship with God. Personal meaning it is authentic, it is real, it's concrete. That you get to experience the living God through Jesus Christ. And this is the essence of the entire Bible. This is the top priority in the mind of our God. When you study the prayers of the Bible, it is very, very interesting. Although the Bible says, hey, pray to God what you need. We just did that. Lord, today, give us our daily bread. Lord, give us what we stand in need of. And at the same time, the ultimate prayers in the Bible are different. In addition to praying for our needs, here's what the Bible says. In Ephesians, Paul prays, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened, that you may know the living God. You may what? Know the living God. Again, Ephesians 3, I pray that you might know the love of God. And in a verse that we're going to read, it says, I pray that you might know my Father as well. So at this time, let's turn to John chapter 14 and receive the reading of God's Word. This is towards the end of Jesus' ministry on earth, before he got crucified, died, buried. He had this time with his disciples. And this is after spending time about 3 years, possibly four, but we know that at least for 3 years, Jesus walked with his disciples. And this is what he says in chapter 14 of John. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Nobody can come to the Father except through me. If you really know me," hint, hint, you don't really know me, "you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, 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 I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay? So here is at the very core of Jesus' message. "I have come so that you may have a personal relationship with God through me." We are obsessed with our needs. And that's not a bad thing, but I just want to make this contrast. We're obsessed with our needs. We're obsessed with our problems. We're obsessed with our intellectual questions and doubts. We're obsessed with knowing ourselves. But God is obsessed with having us know him personally. Today, I don't know what you're going through. You don't know what I'm going through. But in our prayers, "Lord, help us with such and such." As a teenager, you might be praying, "Lord, school is really hard. That bully in my class, I wish that person be gone, forever gone from my life." I don't know what you're going through. As a ailing person, you are concerned. "God, if you're there," I'm not sure if you are, but if you're there, "would you please help me find a new employment?" That's a big, big prayer. Or as parents, you might be praying for your child, a wayward person. "Lord, please be with my daughter. Lord, please be with my son. Bring them home." Whatever you are praying for, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, it's a good thing. But as we are obsessed with our needs, more than anything else, God is obsessed with having us be in a relationship with him personally. And that is the message. Look at what Jim Carrey has once said. I like him as an actor. You know, I find him very talented. You should see him doing some impersonation. He is amazingly good, okay? I never knew or thought that he had this depth, intellectual depth in him. But this is what he says. "I wish that everyone could get rich and famous and have everything they ever dreamed of so that they would know that's not the answer." Here's a guy who has everything. Here's a guy who has fame. Here's a guy who has the name. Here's a guy who has the riches. And yet he says, "I wish you could have all these things that I do have already, and then you will realize that's not what you really need in life." One of my favorite artists of all time, Freddie Mercury, the leader of the rock band Queen. My favorite, actually two songs, "We Are the Champions," okay? But my top favorite is the Bohemian Rhapsody. Here is what Freddie has once said right before he died. You can have everything in the world and still be the loneliest man. And that's the most bitter type of loneliness. Success has brought me world idolization and millions of dollars, but it has prevented me from the one thing we all need. Let's read the last line together. A loving, ongoing relationship. A loving, ongoing, personal relationship that will last not only my life, but into eternity. He longed for that. He hungered for it. He thirsted for this. And yet he didn't have it. I really hope that he did at the end. But this is what he's saying. You may have everything you want in this life, and yet at the end of it all, you're going to feel this need and thirst. You're going to have this hunger and thirst in you. I need something else. Is there more to life than this? And his answer might be what Jesus has said. What we need the most is a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. This is not only our problem, but this was the problem of the disciples in John 14. I told you that Jesus began teaching his kingdom on heaven. He began doing miracles. He began feeding the hungry. He began showing compassion. But as he did all that, he brought in 12 friends, 12 disciples, like Pete, Andy, Jimmy, Johnny, Phil. Okay? Now, so here are a bunch of Jewish men who were very devout. They were very religious. What that meant was they grew up understanding God of the Old Testament. They grew up reading the Holy Scriptures. In fact, there's a theory, if you're a devout follower of the Old Testament as a Jewish person, you would memorize the first 5 books of the Bible. Okay? So these are people who really poured out their lives into doing the godly religious activities. And yet, here's what Jesus says to them. If you really know me, you would know my Father as well. If you know me, you would know my God. Meaning, he's hinting, you don't know God. You may know about God, but you don't know God. But from now on, you do know him and have seen him. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Here's what Jesus is saying. You may know everything about God, but unless you don't experience him personally, you are missing out. You may have memorized the Bible, the first 5 books of the Bible, and yet if you don't have a personal walk with me, it is insufficient. Your greatest adventure in life is living a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So friends, here is a reflection for you. You may have been born in the church. You may have grew up in the church. You may be even baptized in the church. You may even memorize not only the first 5 books of the Bible, but the entire Bible. You may do all that, and yet if you don't have a personal relationship with God, it is all in vain. Here's what Jesus says. Philip, you've been with me for 3 years. You have joined in my work. But that's not enough. Unless you get to experience the living God, the holy God through me, unless you know him personally, then all this is empty. Here's one commentary. Here's how he put it. Jesus saying to us, I'm going to tell you the difference between the intellectual knowing and the personal knowing. You can know about God without knowing him personally. There's a difference between knowing about the person and knowing the person experientially. This is the difference between informational knowledge and personal knowledge. Allow me to illustrate. Okay? I met my wife back in 1993,
at Calvin Theological Seminary in Michigan. Now, suppose, okay, before I met her personally, I went to the school library. By the way, I stole this idea from Nikki Gumbel of Alpha Course. I went into the public library at Calvin Seminary, and I took out the book from the shelves. It said, Eun A Kim, an amazing woman. Chapter 1, her intellectual curiosity. She is a learner. She wants to grow, and she wants to learn, and she is quite studious. In fact, between the two of us, don't tell anyone, okay? She is the brain, okay? And I'm the brawn guy, okay? Yeah. I have one master's, she's got two. So she always plays the card. Hey, I'm smarter than you. Chapter 2, okay? Eun A as a divine chef. Her culinary skills. People ask me, hey, where's the best Korean restaurant in town? I tell them, my kitchen. Well, my wife's kitchen. She's the best cook. She is so good. You have no idea. Chapter 3, her athletic abilities. Very short chapter. I have never met a person until I met my wife, a person who could not throw a frisbee. She can throw a frisbee. How hard is that? Anyhow, I could read about Eun A and gain all the knowledge, you see. I could research on her and find out what she is like. But that's all head knowledge, intellectual information. Those are good things, but it is insufficient. Having married to her for, I don't remember how many years, but having married to her 24 years, I can say to you now, I know that woman. I know her not only personally, I know her experientially. I could just tell you by just looking at her, oh, she's mad. And I'm the problem. Because I know her. I know her personally. So here's the question. Here's the question. Do you know God personally? The word know in Hebrew is yada. Okay? Repeat after me. Yada. Yada. Once again, yada. Okay? And the Bible, the Old Testament, is replete with know the Lord. Know God. Know His decrees. Know His commands. Know Him. Know Him. Know Him. Know Him. Right? Okay? Let me put it this way. That word yada is very broad. It has so many different nuances. Not only does it conjure up the idea that you want to know intellectually in terms of knowledge, but it also means knowing something or about someone experientially. Let me prove it to you. In the book of Genesis, God creates Adam, and Adam was very lonely. He was a homebody, kind of insecure. So he creates Adam, right? And then the Bible says, then Adam knew Yada Eve. You know what that means in Hebrew? They had a sexual relationship. So the word, the verb Yada, to know, is to know sexually. Okay. Now, I don't mean, please, do not post this anywhere. Your preacher is not saying know God in their terms. But I am saying what the Bible is saying, know God as if you can know your own spouse. Experience God in such a way that you could, just by looking at him, uh-oh, he's happy with me. Uh-oh, he's not so happy with me. Uh-oh, I know what he wants. You see what I'm saying? Here's the deal. You could have gone to a seminary. You could be reading Bible every day. You could be praying every day. But unless you have this yada going with God personally through Jesus Christ, your life will never become what it is supposed to be. So the knowing God personally through Jesus Christ is the absolute, absolute priority in God's mind. Now, and then Jesus drops the bomb in verse 6. He declares, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one can have a personal relationship with God except through me. First observation. He doesn't use the word God, does he? What word does he use? Father, friends, listen to me, okay? This is an atomic bomb. For a Jewish person who reveres the holy God of the Bible, for that person to address that God, the holy God, the one who lives in an unapproachable light, the one who is so righteous, so sovereign, that amazing, transcending God, no one can call that person God, your father. In fact, Muslims would agree with that. Muslims get very offended when they hear Christians addressing this God of Abraham, father. Because that is so blasphemous. God is a holy God. He cannot be known personally. He is beyond our approach. He is beyond our grasp. You may revere him. You may worship him. You may fall before him. But you could never call him father. That is too personal. And yet here's God. Here's Jesus Christ addressing this God. Hey, only through me you can know this transcending, holy, awesome, amazing God as your father. The problem is not only that. He makes this very exclusive, exclusionary statement. Let's read it together, everyone. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And all of a sudden, boom, you are objecting. Rightly so. You are raising the red flag. Rightly so. And you remember your friends, if they were here. Hey, that is very, very close-minded statement. We live in 2017, okay? With the people's life, with people like Donald Trump, okay? We have to be tolerant. We have to be open-minded. So already in the face of tolerance, in the face of our modernity, that kind of statement does not bode well. But Jesus is saying a very exclusive statement. I am the only way that you could have a personal relationship with God. There could be other ways, I suppose, by which you may have obtained intellectual knowledge about God, but if you want to experience God personally, I am the only way, I am the only truth, and I am the only life. Well, let me break it down. I could tell you other examples or explanations, but here's one I'm going to give to you today. The more personal the relationship is, the more exclusive it becomes. The more personal the relationship, the more exclusive it becomes. Okay? How many of you have a Facebook account? Raise your hand. Keep them up. Keep them up. Keep them up. The rest of you whose hands aren't up, you lie. Yeah. Okay. Keep your hands up if you have more than 100 friends. All right? Keep your hands up if you have more than 200. Okay, keep your hands up if you have more than 500. Wow. Keep your hands up if you have more than 700. All right, keep your hands up if you have more than 1,000 friends. Okay, you need therapies. Question. You have 1,000 friends. Are you as personal with every one of them? The answer is no. Okay. Some of you are going to get married. And when that day comes, okay, you're going to have to decide on who's going to be your best man or maid of honor. Okay. If you have really close friends, let's say 10. Okay. If I ask you, do you have close friends? Yes, I do. About 10. Okay. You're going to have to ask someone to be your best friend. You are excluding the other 9. The more personal the relationship, the more exclusive it becomes. Let's bring it down. Okay? I love you all as brothers and sisters, but you are not my biological family. I got 3, my wife, Johanna, and Joshua. Okay? They are my immediate family. Now, my relationship with them is more personal than it is with you. And you're not offended by that because you get it. The more personal the relationship, more exclusive it becomes. Now, within my family, Johanna, Joshua, and Une, I am more personal with my wife. Okay? Children may object to that, but that's the truth. Okay? The more personal the relationship, the more exclusive it becomes. Then how much more? If God and we, if we had a relationship, and that's going to be so personal, it transcends that of spouses. If that's so personal, then it follows logic that it becomes exclusive. You may have many relationships, but that what that means is not all of them are as personal. Okay? You may send in questions to the text line about this. I can deal with that more later on. But here is my point. The greatest adventure in your life is to live in a personal relationship with Christ, with God, through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody, you cannot come to God, my Father, except through me. He says, I am the life. He's not saying, I'm not going to help you with your life. He is saying, I am your life. That means he says, I have to be the reason for your life. I am the reason you have breath in your lungs. I am your life. Without me, you have no life. I am the truth. My teaching to you, what I'm saying to you, is not take or leave it. It is the truth. Everything else that says otherwise is contrary to the truth. You must choose whether to choose life or death, or choose truth or lies. I am the way. There is no other way to God except through me. Philip said, Lord, show us the way, and there will be enough for us. And Jesus says, anyone who has seen the Father has seen me, for the Father is in me, and I am in him. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father as well. The claims that Jesus makes is so exclusive, exclusionary, and audacious. It's not something that a reasonable man would say. Here's what I mean. You heard him say, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Did you hear that? The words you're hearing out of my mouth are not my own words. It's the very words of my Father in heaven. It's God's words. If you touch me, you're not just touching me, you're touching God the Creator. Here's what he's claiming. Jesus is claiming, I am fully divine. I am God. You got three options. And if you take the Alpha course, you will deal with, you will address this more thoroughly. You got three options. Jesus claims to be God. Number one option, either he knew that he wasn't God, but he told everyone, convinced everyone that he was God. That would make him an imposter. A very, very good imposter. The Houdini of all Houdinis. Second option, he really thought he was God, and he told everyone that he was God. That would make him a lunatic, a crazy man. He actually thought he was God when he wasn't. Okay? Option number three, he was whom he claimed to be, fully divine, God himself. What you cannot do is moderately go halfway. If we don't believe that he is God, then you have to deny him, and reject all of his teachings. Why would you listen to a crazy man? Why would you receive teaching of a liar? You wouldn't. I wouldn't. The only reason that you would give any time of the day to Jesus' teaching is if he were telling the truth. Let me tell you, four applications, therefore. Four applications. Number one, get to know Jesus, friends. You are struggling with your faith. You have doubts about God. You are very new to faith, or you are even investigating if Jesus is the real deal. Okay? You don't even know if there is God. Okay, hey, here's the first step. Get to know Jesus. Get to know Jesus. He becomes a person to you. He becomes a friend to you. I grew up in the church myself. I was baptized as a baby. I did a church thing all my life. But in all those years, I never knew God personally. I could memorize the catechism, the doctrines, the confessions, the creeds, but I never had this walk with God. So here's what I do know, therefore. Some of you, unless you get to know Jesus personally, all this verbiage is going to fall on a deaf ear. Unless you encounter God personally through Jesus Christ, after you leave home, after you go off to college, you're going to drop the whole thing. And that is what's happening today. Listen, get to know Jesus personally, and that is going to remove all kinds of obstacles. You see what I'm saying? God is not some concept or abstract thing out there. He becomes real to you. The reason you are doubting, the reason you are not convinced about God is because you haven't experienced Him through Jesus Christ personally. When that happens, everything does make sense. Not that you'll have all the answers, but you come to a conclusion. You know what? I haven't fully gotten all my answers satisfactorily. However, God has become real to me through Jesus Christ. I know Him enough personally for me to take the next step. Second application, engage in Jesus' mission. Verse 12. Here's what Jesus says. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. When you join Jesus in His work, when you come along His side and you invest your time and your effort in His mission, He becomes real to you. It is no longer some abstract thought. I have permission to share with you what happened to Vincent. Vincent came to meet God personally at Mosaic House Church. He got baptized, and then he began serving. He began serving in terms of setting things up. He would roll up his sleeves every Sunday morning, 7:30, maybe earlier sometimes, and before you get here, before I get here, he would set up the chairs, set all the things up. And then I remember him saying to me, Pastor Victor, something's happening to me. God is becoming more personal. Interesting, Vincent. Now he's an elder. Interesting, Elder Vincent. How did that come about? Well, it's the point it began to shift was when I began serving. Before, Sunday was a day for me to rest at home. My wife had to just scratch me and pull me out of bed and say, hey, let's go to church together. And I said, no, you go ahead, you'll be blessed, and I'll be home watching the NFL football games, and I'll be blessed. And now, he says, church has become so meaningful. God has become personal because, he would tell you, because I joined Jesus in His work, in His mission. So here's how they can help you too. Join Jesus, what He's doing. Find out what breaks God's heart. Is the homeless, the mustard seed, the hope missions, teenage pregnancy center? Find out what breaks God's heart, and you say to God, God, break my heart. What breaks your heart? And join God in that. And I promise you, God will become more personal through Jesus Christ. Third application, get personal with prayer. Get personal with prayer. Your relationship with God becomes personal through Jesus Christ through your prayer. Pastor Ann has been teaching me about prayer ministry lately. We pray for people, pray with people. It's called the Emmanuel ministry. Emmanuel means God with us. People have been prayed by Pastor Ann and by us and by the team. These are the people who say, I need help. Would you please minister to me? Would you please find out what is wrong with me? Okay? And we go into this time of prayer. And what we pray for is, okay, close your eyes. Think of the time when you felt the loneliest. Think of a time when you're facing the darkest hour of your life. Think of the time when no one was there for you. Think of a time when you're being abused and when you're in pain and suffering. Okay? Jesus is there. see him in your mind. And it is just astounding how these people, every one of them says, oh my gosh, Jesus is there. I thought I was all alone. I thought I was all by myself. I thought it was so hard doing it all by myself. And yet, Jesus was there. And that becomes the source of healing for these people. Healing for me. Healing for you. So as you pray, Jesus becomes real. As you pray, you listen to him. And as you pray, you see where Jesus is in the picture. One of my advices is road rage. I may look very civil, patient, but road rage has happened a number of times. I don't call names. I don't give the universal finger gesture. What I do is, when someone does something wrong to me, I pass them. And as I'm passing them on the left lane, I give them this Mark Messi look, the stare. And in my mind, as I give them the look, you know what I'm thinking inside? How dare you? How could you? I would never do that. I am better than you. Okay? No, hang on. You laugh, but this is a hideous sin that I look down on people and I say, I am better than you. This is the sin of the Pharisees. Anyhow, I began praying in 2017. Lord Jesus, I want to become more like you. I want people to see Jesus in me. When I talk, maybe they will hear the words of you, your words. When I touch people, may they feel, oh, Jesus' hand is upon me. Okay? And I've been praying that prayer, and it's making a difference in me in 2017 for the last 3 weeks or so. And it's going. But the other day, as I was driving, lo and behold, someone just does something wrong. Okay? And I feel this road rage within me. And as I'm passing by on the left lane, as I look and I want to give him the Mark Messi stare, and I want to say, how could you? I'm better than you. Guess whom I see? Jesus on the passenger side. Holy cow. Through prayer, Jesus becomes personal. And this is how he is bringing God unique to you. And last application. Explore Alpha. Explore Alpha. Alpha is designed to help you discover this personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The reason for which every premarital counseling session that involves someone who's not walking with God, I say, hey, I'll be honored to officiate your wedding, but here's my prerequisite. Go join Alpha. Because as you come to know God personally through Jesus Christ, as a man, as a woman, then your marriage will be so blessed, so enriched. So friends, you have some doubts. You're not sure about Jesus. You're not sure about, hey, there's got to be more to life than this. Explore Alpha. At Mosaic House Church, this is a big initiative this year, and we are doing this in our house churches. So on this note, may I ask, everyone who is in a house church doing Alpha, would you just rise just for a second, okay? Rise. If you are in a house church doing Alpha course, please rise, okay? Remain standing. Okay, friends, look around. Oh, was that not clear? Everyone who is in a house church doing Alpha, please stand. Okay, now, those of you who should and want to explore Alpha, go and talk to one of these people. Say, hey, can I come for a test drive? I'm not going to come here for the whole thing, but I want to see if this is an exploration that I want to try out. So thank you so much. Okay? Because, friends, there's more to life than this. It's having a what? Personal relationship with whom? God through Jesus Christ. Question number one. To enter an exclusive relationship requires not only knowledge, but also trust Amen. You're smart. How can you know God through the Bible? How can we learn to trust Him before entering this exclusive relationship? Right on and rock on, okay? The only way by which you can trust God is through Jesus Christ. You are right. You should not enter into an exclusive relationship unless you can trust the person, right? Okay? And how can we trust God? Jesus Christ. All the answers to all the questions, really, I'm not trying to play the sound, is Jesus Christ. The only way you can trust God is by what He has done for you already. Trust is based on action. Those of you who first met me today, you can't trust me because you don't know me. And you don't know me because you haven't received my action. God can be only trustworthy by examining what He has done for you. And Jesus becomes that proof and evidence. Without Jesus, I could never trust God. I could say God is holy, yes. I could say God is powerful, yes. I cannot say God is loving unless I have received His love. And love must be felt and demonstrated. And He has done so in the person of Jesus Christ. So it's Jesus Christ through whom you can learn to trust God for what He has done. Okay. Second question. Exclusive, like marital relationship for me, means one man, one woman. Yes, we're not Mormons. However, I have one God, but God has a relationship with many others, like you. Is it truly exclusive from God's point of view, or is it more personal, or does that matter? Okay. So the analogy that Jesus has used is that of the father and children. Get it? Okay. There's only one father, but many children. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. Okay. We are one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise. Okay. But there's only one father. What makes it exclusive? Meaning, there aren't other fathers. There's only one. But the father could have many children. Now, this is where the analogy kind of breaks down. Jesus makes it even more intimate and more personal by saying, hey, you all are my bride. I'm your groomsman. I'm your man, and you are my bride. Okay? Now, what that means is he's saying, hey, I'm making it even more personal by calling you my wife. Now, men, hang with me here. Okay? What it means is the personal loyalty and trust between Jesus and us. So that's where the analogy kind of breaks down. Okay, but Jesus meant you as in plural. You're all. Okay, we're from the South now. You're all are my bride. And yet there's only one groom. Again, all this is possible because of Jesus Christ. Last question. How do we know our relationship with God is becoming more personal? Are there common traits? Milestone markers. Yes. Number one, experience. I don't mean, okay? I do mean, hey, God is real. He has become real through Jesus Christ. Pardon my personal reference, but I'm a living proof. Ask my son, ask my wife. They know me more than you, and they know all my flaws. They know I'm a hypocrite. I tell them, and I don't do what I tell them. And then I hope that you will hear from them. And yet, my dad is a changed man, and he is changing. So the test is the pudding. It's the personal transformation. If you experience God personally, you know that the change is occurring within you. Okay. Another one, I told you about doubt. Okay. Listen, God is so huge, so big, He is beyond our comprehension. You don't need to comprehend God because you ain't God. And you will never be able to get God the way He is. We are finite. He is infinite. He is wholly another. But as far as our experience can go, you may come to know God through Jesus Christ personally. Then it doesn't remove all the doubts or questions. But what it does is, you know enough about God
to move forward. You can say at the end of the day, God, I don't get this passage. God, I don't understand this doctrine. God, I don't know how your mind is working. Well, God's going to say, well, obviously, you ain't God. So don't try to have all the answers before you can come to me. So it's quite all right. Keep it at the personal level. All right? Is there any other questions, like from the floor? If not, we're going to proceed. Yes, Mr. Larry, speak up, please. Hey, you have a good voice. Project it for me. Everyone, ask $100 from Larry today. Trust me and give me your money. Okay? God does say, love everyone, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? Now, right there, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? That's a qualifier. If you don't love yourself, love your neighbor more than you love yourself. At the same time, not everyone is to be trusted. God has given us wisdom, right? So in this context, what I recommend is love them without giving them full trust. Trust is hard to earn and hard to give. You shouldn't give trust flippantly, okay? So for example, if someone's asking for money off the street, I don't give them money because I don't trust what they're going to do with it. What I do is, hey, I would love to buy you lunch. I will sit with you, talk with you. Can we do that? Okay. Many will say yes. You'll be surprised how many times I've heard. Well, I can't say what they said. Okay. So yes, love all the way. Trust gingerly. Love extravagantly. Trust as you go along. Thank you so much. We can talk afterwards. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, it's amazing it is that we get to call you Father, our Father. You have become personal to us through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Christ, for coming all the way down from heaven above, becoming one of us, so that we may have access to God personally. Thank you for reaching out to us. Thank you for helping us to pray. Thank you so much for helping us to know you, not only intellectually, but also experientially. Thank you so much that we get to join you in your mission. And that's what Mosaic House Church is all about. We exist to help people build personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you. So we pray. How amazing your grace is. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. And because of that, we have a personal, authentic, real relationship with you. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for our chains are gone. We've been set free. My God, my Savior, you have ransomed me. Thank you. I am forever yours, and you are forever ours. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.